how many towns and villages and cities are we here in Kerry twinned with? And to answer that question, I'm joined on the line by Fine Gael Councillor for the Tralee Municipal District, Angie Bailey. Good morning to you, Angie. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Trossa, and good morning also to all your listeners. Beautiful day today. It's glorious. Great to have the sun shining.
Absolutely divine. Absolutely divine, Angie. And you have to answer your this question,
yes.
Because I am most curious. How many towns and villages and cities are we twinned with? So are we talking about Beaufort, Castle Island, Dingle, Killarney, Glamorgan, Listowel? And Tralee, of course, they're all twinned with a number of cities, towns, villages. How many in total?
So we have 26. Now, one of those is a relationship that was Kerry and China. All of the others then were Tralee, Listowel, Beaufort, Killarney. Killarney has a whopping 10. But I think that will be down to the work done by the Killarney Twinning Association, which would build on a lot of cultural and educational links. So I suppose when I put this motion forward, I was putting it forward from more of a government to government link, which is absolutely not taking away from the very important work that the communities do. And I suppose really, if you look at my background of where I was coming from, I'm very involved in the Kerry Chinese community. We put on quite a big show every single year with the Chinese New Year celebrations with a very small team of volunteers. So that's your cultural side, you know. But I believe that like twinning us now with the town in China is the way to go forward. Of the list that we have now, actually, China, unfortunately, the Chinese embassy does not have any record of this list between China and Kerry. But that's, I think, because you didn't have that community effort there from the beginning. Governments can only go so far in establishing links. And the government links are really, really important because they also include businesses. You know, they can trade in business, tourism promotion, education partnerships. We cannot forget that Tralee is now a university town. Kerry is a university county. And we need to be able to draw on these links and to make them benefit everyone. So the community links are there for the friendships, maybe small educational exchanges, trying to get cultural visits over. But from a government to government perspective, we can push this a lot more. So I've been pushing for stronger ties between Kerry and China, and I've spoken to the Chamber of Commerce. They're very much on board, MTU, businesses around town. And I have spoken as well to Kerry County Council, and they're very excited as well about doing this. But I suppose from the Kerry County Council point of view, they also have to make sure that of the benefits that, you know, are likely to accrue to both the administrative section but also to the local community. They'll also have to look at the social and cultural and tourist different perspectives. But yeah, so 24 different places are twinned with Kerry and towns around. It's absolutely fantastic.
Angie,
but
if
I do
could
believe
come back
we could
to
be doing more.
Angie,
yes, sorry.
If I could come back to you about China, notwithstanding the importance of building up connections with China, the world's second biggest economy. All the forecasters point to it probably overtaking the United States as the world's leading economy this century. Is there a danger, though, that we shouldn't be too cosy with China as well? I mean, it's not a democracy. It's not a it's a very repressive regime, and we, you know, there's clear evidence of human rights abuses in the Uyghurs, for example, the destruction of freedoms in Hong Kong. There's a line between, you know, obviously building up connections and ties and important trading connections, but also being very clear that we stand for democracy and human rights.
Absolutely. But we're very close with America, and look what's happening with America, and look what America is willingly doing to countries all over the world, and the wars that it's starting. I mean, are we not going to speak about the facts as they actually are? Are we not going to talk about our own country? I mean, you have hundreds of people here who are saying not having access to housing and to healthcare is a lack of human rights.
But it's not the same,
you know,
it's not the same as the oppression endured by people in China, where there's no democracy.
Okay, well, what about the oppression in America?
There's still democracy, you know, in America, though.
And but there also is still democracy in China. Now, maybe not democracy in terms of voting, but people in China can educate. They get an education, a very good education. They know some of the top universities in the world. They can go out, start businesses and make money. Every single person has access to healthcare. And it's a health care that, you know, on the same day you can go and you can have an MRI and a CT scan and all of these things that you need. So I think that, yes, I understand. And I actually had a big conversation on democracy only with someone recently last week on what democracy means. And we ended up Googling the word democracy. And while it doesn't say it specifically, what democracy is the something that takes care of the larger amount of people. So the roots lie in what is good for the collective.
But I wasn't expecting this conversation to segue. I suppose I do have to say that yes, obviously we have to think about the greater good, but also individual human rights are important. And for example, there are we've seen Jimmy Lai imprisoned in Hong Kong for what would seem to many spurious reasons. We've seen repression of the Uyghurs. There's allegations of ethnic cleansing, that there's suppression of freedom of expression. For example, if you're a person who's LGBT, a lot of artists who are Chinese have left the country because they feel there is so much suppression that they cannot express themselves. There's also surveillance and censorship. That doesn't sound like democracy to me.
Actually, there was a huge study done recently. I can't remember by who, but it was asking the Chinese and the American what were the things most important to them in the country. This is now just because you mentioned surveillance and security. And for America, the most important thing was military. For the Chinese, the most important thing was security. And from a parent and from a local councillor point of view, I will say that I also think that the security in China is second to none. And it's also because they don't follow the same GDPR rules as us. I brought a group of 20 young TY students out to China in the end of October. And every single one of those children were given the freedom to take the subway. Another group actually have just come back. We had 10 students from Tralee who were out. They were given great freedom in terms of using the subway. We can't do that here with our students. You know, if you have a student, say, from Spain or from France in your home, you almost have them home by the time it's dark. You have four-year-olds who are using the subways on their own in the mornings to get to school in China because of that surveillance.
Yeah.
Because that surveillance also ends up with a security, meaning that you can walk out, you can leave your phone on a table and your phone will be found.
Yeah,
well, no one will take it.
We'll have to go back to this, but again, I suppose state surveillance to that extent. Yes, you've highlighted some of the advantages, but again, you would. I think it's important that people's individual liberty is respected, and China does continue to impose death sentences and carry out executions, which, according to Amnesty,
in America as well,
which according to Amnesty International, do not meet the threshold of the most serious crimes. Normally, you know, people have been sentenced to debt for telecommunications fraud, for example.
Okay, yeah, I have absolutely no data whatsoever on that, but I would like to see it, you know, and I'd like to kind of see the court case proceedings and everything else, because at the moment I see all of us dealing with America, and we have a leader in America who uses very abusive and very threatening language, and yet we're still trading with America without calling him up on that, because we need the trade. At the end of the day, China is the most stable economy at the moment. You can say that's because of its surveillance. You can say because it is good with dealing with crime, of which it is very good with crime. You won't find people with 45 convictions walking the street in China. And I think for me, that is very important. We're dealing with businesses in the town centre who are crying out for better security, for better surveillance, for more cameras around the town, so that we can name and have culprits dealt with then accordingly. And I understand, you know, the fears about dealing with China, but I don't think those fears are any greater than dealing with the likes of America. And I also think that China, in terms of energy, in terms of infrastructure, it is absolutely doing so much. And we need to kind of say, okay, look, we don't agree with what is happening in the Uyghur regions. And we can say that to President Xi Jinping when we meet him. But what we do need is we do need support in terms of our EV infrastructure. I mean, we have the poorest EV infrastructure in all of Europe.
Angie, we'll have to come back to this. But so in brief, you think China's been demonised and that we could certainly learn a lot from China when it comes to, for example, dealing with crime and repeat offenders?
No, not really. I don't think China has been really... I hope that that's not what I said. I think that sometimes when we're looking at dealing with China, we're afraid of what the media has told us. And I think that there's a lot more to China than what we see on Western media. I think that China is a very, very safe country. I don't think their systems would work here because people are so... they want to keep, I suppose, no cameras. And again, I don't know who this benefits because as far as I'm concerned, I have no issue with my face being caught on camera because I'm not going to be doing anything I shouldn't be doing. But in terms of business and trade and infrastructure and training and educational links and culture and tourism and business, I don't think there's a business in the town that doesn't some way or another have some sort of business to do with China, especially with clothes or the different building trades. They're all getting stuff in from China.
Granted.
So by having a partnered town with China, my hope would be that we could then build a central point of contact so that all of our businesses could benefit from having this point of contact in terms of getting all the stuff that they need from China in China.
Okay.
That they would have something similar to a chamber of commerce that we have in Tralee and Killarney,
Angie,
also in China.
These are all very interesting and salient points, and we will return to them again. Thank you so much for your time, Angie. We've been speaking to Fine Gael Councillor for the Tralee Municipal District, Angie Bailey.